For most of us, sleeping occupies a third of our day. During those 8 hours, we have been known to do some pretty strange things. For example, some people talk in their sleep. Some people walk in their sleep. Some people sing in their sleep. Some people grind their teeth during sleep. Some people eat in their sleep, and they're probably not eating veggies. I would suggest they're snacking. And usually snacking is not the best food to eat. But there are even reports of people driving a motorcycle or a car while sleeping. It's called being asleep at the wheel. And of course, that's not a good place to be, especially for those that are meeting you coming the other direction. We all can say we dream as we sleep. We can name other things. I mean, obviously, this is not an exhaustive list of things people do while they sleep. But the point is, we need sleep. I think for a lot of people, they don't get enough sleep. It's good to sleep physically, but let me say this, and this is the thrust of the message. It's not good to be asleep spiritually. And at times, as Christians, our walk with God can be described as sleepwalking. We do Christian things. We do good Christian things. Outwardly, we are doing the Christian thing, but we are essentially asleep, spiritually speaking. Friends, God wants us, His people, to be spiritually vigilant and engaged. He wants us to be alert. He wants us to be awake. He does not want us, spiritually speaking, to be asleep at the wheel. Now, I can tell you that Satan is not sleeping, nor are his followers. Peter tells us that Satan is like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan's forces are engaged every day, seeking to destroy all that's good and true and beautiful, all that is of God. In my lifetime, I have not seen such an evidence of Satan and his hordes at work trying to destroy everything that's good. So all of this tells me that it's vital that you and I as believers are awake spiritually. Friends, I was talking to my sister this past week and she heard this statement, and I think it is so true that Christianity is not to be an audience, we are to be an army. And an army, if it's going to win battles, has to be awake. And Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, describe such a spiritually awake Christian. And Paul does so in three ways. Christian who is spiritually awake is awake. He wakes up. Number two, he puts off. And number three, he puts on. Point number one, a Christian who is spiritually awake is awake. Paul challenges Christians in verse 11, it is high time to awake out of sleep. Meaning this is the hour to stop being apathetic, indifferent, callous. Now is the time to be alert and to be sober and to be vigilant. And the question is why? Well, the text tells us because our salvation is near. And what is meant by our salvation? Well, we're talking here the imminent return of Christ, which means that Christ could come at any time, which means Christ could come right now. And Christ said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Friends, because the day of our final redemption is drawing near, because Jesus himself said, surely I come quickly. We need to be ready. Christ also said in Matthew chapter 24, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now we do not know, and we cannot know, the time of our Lord's coming. If someone says, I know when the Lord's coming, mark it down, he doesn't know. But there is abundant evidence that the sand in the hourglass of human history as we know it is running out. As verse 12 tells us, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Friends, man's time of spiritual unbelief and rebellion and sin is coming to a close. And God's time of judgment and righteousness and glory is about to begin. Again, Jesus declares, "Behold, I come quickly, quickly." And then he adds, "And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Friends, Jesus is coming again. And it could be now, it could be today. And he will reward us for how we are serving him today. "Behold," he said, "I come quickly." I say it's time for God's people to wake up and to serve the Lord with the opportunities he is giving us right now. The time is coming when no man is going to be able to work. You know that when you get to heaven, you'll never be able to tell someone again about Jesus. You'll never have an opportunity to give to a missionary or to go to a mission field and serve. I mean, there are a number of things you'll never do again. But what beautiful things they are, what needful things they are that we can do now, that we need, that we must do now. And so let us be faithful. I know we say it so often, but let's take the time that God gives us and the talents that he gives us and the treasure that he gives us, and let's be good stewards of them. We must redeem the time. And friends, it's hard to redeem the time when we are spiritually asleep. So we need to wake up. You don't get any work done when you're asleep, amen? So we need to wake up. And when we are awake, point two tells us that we will cast off the works of darkness. And we see that in verse 12. Friends, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and remember, as Christians, we are an army, we're not an audience. We must throw off, we must forsake, we must renounce, we must repent of sin. That is throwing off the works of darkness. We must put off concerning the former life, the old man who is being corrupted by the lust of deceit. And this means we are to put away anger and wrath and malice and slander, abusive speech from our mouths. We are to stop lying to one another. We are to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We are to put away all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and slander. We are to put aside all filthiness, all that remains of wickedness. And in our text, Paul tells us in verse 13 that we are not to walk in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. And you say, "Well, Pastor, what does that mean?" It refers to blatant sexual activities. We are not to walk in strife and contention and envy. Again, these are all works of darkness. The point is, as Ephesians 5:8 tells us, we were sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Friends, when we are awake spiritually, we walk as children of light. So let's no longer serve sin. Let's no longer yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness. Sin is not to reign in our mortal bodies, enslaving us to the lusts of the flesh. Again, when we are spiritually awake, we cast off, we discard the works and the values of darkness, we replace them with the armor of light. And my question is, are you awake? If you are, you will be casting off the works of darkness. You will be putting sin to death. And as point number three now tells us, we will be putting on the armor of light, which we see described in Ephesians chapter 6. This armor entails, number one, putting on the belt of truth through a knowledge of the truth of God's word. And this piece of armor refers to truthful character. Second, we put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is God's own righteousness freely given to us when we believe in Jesus. Third, we put on our war boots, the gospel of peace, because being justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, we put on our war shield, faith, which wards off the arrows of rejection and criticism and hypocrisy. In other words, we fight with a wisdom which is from above, which is peace. Number five, we put on the helmet of salvation, which is the assurance of our salvation and the resulting confidence it brings. Then we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, by reading it and meditating on it and memorizing it and studying it and above all, obeying it. We do this through Spirit-filled prayer. Praying always references continued prayer, varied prayer, persistent prayer, intercessory prayer, and believing prayer. And let's recognize that those who have a significant and powerful prayer life are those who always include prayer in their plans for the day. If you gave me a list of these are the things that I need to get done today, this is my checklist, would that list include time to pray? People who pray always plan to pray, and thus they do pray. Friends, our plans always include time to sleep. Why not include time to meet with our Creator, our Savior, our loving Father, our victory? Now let me say, young people, you need the armor of light. I thought I grew up in a bad world. I mean, you're growing up in an awful world, wicked world. The world is one big lie. And if you're not countering the lies of the world with the truth of God's word, you're going to believe the lies of the world. And young people, how you need that armor of light. Men and women, you need the armor of light at work. Again, we must wake up. We must put this armor on. Then and only then will we be able to stand in this evil day. If you're not alert spiritually, if you are not putting off the old man, if you're not putting on the new man, the armor of light, you will not be able to stand in this evil day. Now, in putting on the armor of light, we are in essence putting on the Lord Jesus, which means we are continually discarding the old clothing of sinful thoughts and habits, and we are putting on Jesus' divine clothing of righteousness and truth and holiness and love. And friends, this sanctification process, this goal of Christ-likeness, of being Christ-formed in us, is the one thing Paul pursued. It is the prize of glory he spoke of in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. I press, he said, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Honestly, friends, Paul figured out where his energies needed to be placed. And as we are being transformed into Christ's image from glory to glory, we will be found drawing near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. We will be holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering.